Hell Yes Life, episode 23. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a hell yes life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. I am your host, Norman Bell, and I am excited to be here. How about you? You want to give it? Let's do a hell yes together, shall we? One, two, three. Hell yes. Oh, yeah. I'm excited. Now, whether you are a creative or conscious entrepreneur, a speaker, author, or coach, artist or musician, a world traveler or world changer, or hey, maybe you're in your 9-to-5, but you just want to move towards these things, well, this is the place to hear inspiring stories and actionable tips from our amazing guests that will motivate you to move toward and live your Hell Yes Life. The Hell Yes Life podcast releases new episodes every Tuesday, and show notes can be found at hellyeslife.com. Now, Hell Yes Lifers, if you want to write a review, please visit hellyeslife.com/HYL iTunes. And when you do, include your business name or website, and I'll mention it when I give you a shout out on the show. Also, I encourage you to join us in our Hell Yes Life Facebook community, where we are supporting each other to move towards our Hell Yes Lives. Now, starting in May, we're going to have daily themes and weekly opportunities to check in on your goals and share about your dreams and current projects. So to join the community, visit hellyeslife.com/Facebook. That's hellyeslife.com/Facebook. Now, lastly, I would love to hear directly from you, Hell Yes Lifers. What are you liking about the show? What's not working for you? What do you wish I was doing more or less of? Which guests have you particularly enjoyed? And who would you love to see next on the show? Well, if you want to have some input to the Hell Yes Life podcast, please email me at hellyeslife@gmail.com. That's hellyeslife@gmail.com. And let me know what you think. Okay, now let's get into today's episode. Today on the Hell Yes Life podcast, I'm excited to have as my guest animal advocate Carlene Montes de Oca. Carlene is an animal human health expert, speaker, and author of the brand new book, Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. Now, Carlene is a former film editor, and she's worked on such classic movies as Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and Three Men and a Little Lady, awesome movies that I remember back in the 80s and 90s. Carlene has been voted PETA's sexiest vegetarian over 50 and has been a spokesperson for the Guardian campaign at In Defense of Animals. Now, today she is the founder of the Animal Human Health Connection, whose focus is to bring awareness to the many powerful ways that animals enhance human health, happiness, and longevity. Carlene says that her book was written for the dog and cat lover, animal advocate, and fan of natural medicine. And her book reveals how our timeless relationships with our beloved animal friends hold the keys to our optimal health. I think you're really going to love to hear Carlene talking about the power of positivity and about her Hell Yes Life. So, hell yes, let's get to it. Carlene, welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Norman. Thanks so much.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on the show. Now, are you ready to tell us about your Hell Yes Life?
I have never been more ready for anything in my life.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. That's so exciting. Great. Well, we're so happy to have you here. I always like to start off by asking our guests, what is your Hell Yes? And by that, I mean, what's your passion, the thing that really lights you up?
Well, I'm happy to say that the thing that does really light me up, I mean, I am truly excited about it every morning, is that the first conscious thought that comes into my head is, how am I going to have the greatest positive effect on the lives of animals? And in my head, I see the word, I'll spell it, P-A-W-S-I-T-I-V-E. So it's how am I going to have that positive effect? And that's something that has come to me probably in the last year and a half, and it makes me so excited to get up every morning.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So you could actually boil that down to two words, a positive effect. Get it? Hell Yes Lifers, positive effect. I saw it written on one of the things you said over, Carly, and it's awesome. So now tell us, okay, so, and we're going to get into your new book and everything you've got going on right now, but let's back up a little bit. When did you realize that this was your hell yes?
I don't think there was a single moment that I realized there was a hell yes, but there have been a little hell yes, a little like stepping stones the whole way. I probably think I signed some contract before I got into this lifetime that said, hey, this is going to be it and you're going to have to figure out how to get there. But I mm-hmm. feel like I've had a lot of mentors along the way, a lot of messages along the way. And I think that when this book, I remember specifically, I was walking my dog and the word dog as my doctor came into my head. And I went, what? And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. And then I went and laid down on my bed because I was taking a little nap. And then the words cat as my nurse came into my head. And I thought, whoa, that's a great title for a book. And then this is how it kind of came about. So I feel like I've gotten all these little nudges along the way. And it was just for me to wake up and hear them.
Now, isn't it, I don't know if you found this to be the case, but it has been that way in my life, is that, you know, it's not often the things that I'm like, you know, really trying to create with my own head, you know, oh, I'm going to make this happen. It's usually those things like that, they just kind of come to you, right? You know,
yes.
You're just kind of walking along and this, those words appear in your head, dog is my doctor.
Oh, right. Wow, and I think that? You have to be open to hearing them, and which I wasn't in the past. I wasn't, I was doing what you were doing. Let's make this happen. This is the life. And now I'm in a completely different space.
Yeah. So, okay, let's dive into the book and then maybe we'll backtrack again a little bit later, but tell us all about Dog is My Doctor, Cat is My Nurse. Now, you say in this book that our pets hold the keys to our optimal health. Tell us more about that.
Sure. I sometimes think of the phrase pets instead of pills, because it feels like we're the society who's always reaching for the newest and latest, greatest pill on, you know, I think about like the drugs that are always being advertised on TV with the millions of side effects. And I always think to myself, who's going to take that? You know, who's going to do that? The side effects are worse than what you're taking them for. But obviously a lot of us do. And I look to our animals as I'm an acupuncturist and a plant-based nutritional consultant. So I'm always looking at the natural ways that our body can heal. And I find that our companion animals promote so much of this health and wellness around us, but we're so not tuned into it. For, you know, and they provide whole body wellness, not just like a physical wellness. They provide mental and emotional wellness. They even provide a spiritual level of wellness. It's like the whole ticket. Mm-hmm. It's just that we need to start tuning in more to that, to our animals. And the other thing is that we are so disconnected from our environment, and Who's nature but our animals that are living in our home? That's our connection to nature right there.
And animals are just, they're just themselves, aren't they? They I so admire them sometimes, because here we are trying to, you know, sometimes find our authentic selves or trying to look good in front of other people or whatever else it is. But I think that's why we're drawn to, you know, babies and animals, because they're just who they are. It's something to be admired for sure. So, but tell us, let's get into a little bit more about what you mean. I can imagine, just from my own perspective, yes, being around an animal will help me emotionally or spiritually, but you're actually even talking about they can help us heal common illnesses. You've said they can be anti-aging coaches and even improve your love life. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Well, in my book, I've interviewed a lot of different experts and people just in general, like you and me, who've had some pretty amazing stories about how their animals have helped them. For example, just from a physical perspective, I see studies almost every day coming through about how, for example, your animals, if you spend time with them, if you pet them, if you engage with them, they help you relax. They help you bring down your blood pressure. They help you bring down cholesterol. They boost your immunity. I mean, these are all really powerful things. I mean, you know, if it was in a pill, how much are you going to pay for that? That's pretty amazing, especially because cardiovascular disease or heart disease is one of the biggest, I think it's number one in terms of potentially what a lot of us will be faced with. So if we are addressing these things preventatively, which is usually the way that we can try to avoid these lifestyle diseases, then our animals, you know, here they are to help us with that. And of course, they dogs will help us exercise, because you bring a dog into your house, the deal is you've got to walk them. So that means you have to walk yourself. And then there's the idea that, well, if you're caring for another, you know, just the idea of caring for another, spending time getting out of your own head and caring for somebody, someone else who needs you, is extremely therapeutic. I mean, we see this a lot with older people, the elderly. We see this with people who have issues connecting socially with other people. We see this with children. It's a wonderful way to have a buddy, you know, somebody who you're helping and they're helping you back because they're helping you connect and helping you feel good. And all of those positive hormones that we have in our body start to act up. We get nitric oxide, which is this gas that makes us feel happy. All of these things are great. And then we have on, I think that you asked about, what was the third thing you asked? You said physically, emotionally. You asked one.
The love life.
The love life. Of course, the love life. How could I forget? I interviewed an expert who wrote a book specifically on this. And she had a lot to say just about how when we have, for example, you know, dog lovers will often find other dog lovers. It's the one thing that animals can cross the divide of people who you may not want to necessarily go up to, but if they have a dog, you may start engaging in a conversation, or that person may come over to you and start talking to you about your dog or your animal. You may get on that conversation, and it's an amazing way to connect with another person who you may not think you have anything in common with, or you may think, well, I'll never talk to that person. Look at all the cat cafes opening up. You know, people can come in who love cats, and you meet other people at these places.
I have not heard of this. There's cat cafes everywhere.
Yeah, they're very popular. I think they're very, I think they started in Japan, but they're spreading everywhere, and they're definitely in the United States now. You know, or have you ever been to a bookstore? I've done this many times where they have a local, the cat book, you know, the cats they are hanging out in the books.
Oh yeah.
So they're just really great ways to connect. And we find, like, for example, if you're walking your dog, that more people will come up to you and actually talk to you if you have a dog with you.
That's very true. My wife, who is very extroverted, will, you know, whenever there's a dog coming the other way, she'll stop and give it a pet and ask, you know, there's a natural conversation there, right? Oh, what's the name of your dog? What kind of dog is it?
Yeah. And about three walks after that, the last, you know, you'll end up getting to what's your name again?
Right. So let's see, what else do I want to ask you about that? What about is there anything that people, when they're reading your book, that they'll be taught about different things to do? Or is it really just about being aware of what our animals can provide us with? Go ahead.
Well, it's a few different things. Mostly, I want people to understand that, one, as the type of medicine that I help people with is really about mind, body, spirit. It's all the same. We aren't these separated pieces in our body of just physical components. We are a whole body, and all of it for optimal health needs to be attended to. And I do talk about my prescriptive ways, and I wrap up at the end of every chapter with pause for your prescription, PAWS. And in that chapter, I just wrap up about what that chapter is and how that can help you. So there is this little guideline of how our animals can kind of help us in this way. But there are also some really tremendous stories in this book. This is, I think, the thing that people will really resonate with is other people's stories. I have stories ranging from a man who walked across the country from Virginia to Northern California with his dog after the death of his wife, and how he felt his dog saved his life because he was so despondent when that had happened. And then all the way to Jack Canfield, who's the author of the Chicken Soup of the Soul series. He contributed a story as well about how really a very early story with a dog that he had contributed to his making a difference in the world to the way that he has now.
Wow, that is amazing. So this book actually is, to a certain extent, a compilation of other people's stories, or you interviewed. How did you go about creating the book?
Yes, and thank you. I forgot there's a third component, which is all with interviews I've done with other experts. So I've done interviews with people who have, the book is called the book is Dog is My Doctor, Cat is My Nurse, and the subtitle is An Animal Lover's Guide to Living Healthier, Happier, and More Extraordinary. So I interview people whose dogs and cats have helped them be healthier, who've helped them be happier, and who've helped them be extraordinary. They're doing, the extraordinary people are the people doing things out in the world that on a big scale, where they've been inspired by their animals to do this, like Ingrid Newkirk, who's the president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Again, Jack Canfield, as I spoke of. Also, one other thing about this book, which is pretty unique, and I've had some people early on check this out, and it's pretty exciting. People always said to me, hey, you know, this book, I wish, the early reader said, I wish I could see the pictures of the dogs and the cats and the people. And I said, well, that would cost a fortune to put all those pictures in the book. And then I had this idea, I'll put it online. I'll do an online photo gallery. So people who buy the book can go online and look at the pictures of all the people they've just read about, all the experts. There's other information, links to other things. There's really cool quotes, lots of other stuff. So it's sort of two books in one.
That sounds awesome. I can imagine anybody who's picking up that book is going to want to get online and see all those wonderful dogs and cats and their owners in color. So let me ask you this. So that is great. So now we got a little picture of where you're at now. And it sounds like an amazing book. I can already imagine you doing the talk show tours with this book. But let's back up now, because you said your first email to me, you said you went from living kind of a hell life to a hell maybe life to a hell yes life. So let's go back to your hell life. What were you doing before all this that wasn't so hot?
Well, I don't know that on the outside people would say I was living a hell life, but I think on the inside it was living a hell life because I wasn't on purpose. I wasn't on track. I started off in my career being a film editor on movies. And that was a pretty cool thing, but it was the movie industry is a pretty tough taskmaster. And I, as much as I would enjoy it, I mean, I was just stressed out all the time. I was eating way too many carbs and just not sleeping, all those kind of things. And I just knew I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, but I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. So then I decided at one point I had had enough. I couldn't do another movie, and I decided to move into the hell maybe life. No, it's not a hell maybe life. It's actually a great life. I became an acupuncturist, which I am now, and a plant-based nutritional consultant. And I loved it. Believe me, it's an amazing thing. But I could feel I wasn't on track. There was just something was eluding me. And I always, I've loved animals my whole life. And I always was trying to figure out, well, how could I make a bigger impact? How can I do something for them to help them? And I just was eluding me. I didn't want to be a vet, and I could not for the life of me figure it out. So I'd volunteer a lot at different things, and I'd help out with that. And then again, all these little moments led to, I think, that moment when that book title came into my head, and suddenly it started to connect, and other things started to take place. They say when the student's ready, the teachers will show up. Well, a lot of teachers showed up. They were, and I've been learning and learning and learning and applying all the things I've learned. And now I feel like things have this momentum that is like you're riding this amazing wave. Now that I'm open to it, all these things are starting to happen that are, coming out of the woodwork, like, Jack Canfield giving me a story. And there's other people like Jackson Galaxy also gave me a quote for inside my book. That's really cute. He's the guy who, Animal Planet, My Cat from Hell. That show. And so there's just been this, and the people who've read it, I mean, the endorsements that have come in, it's been a pretty magical, magical time. And it's beginning. The book isn't out really till April, and all of this is happening now.
Well, that's amazing. Yeah. And that is, that's the case when we're really, finally commit, right, to our hell yes, then the universe starts to move with us, right?
And, oh my gosh, things yes.
start to show up that you could have never even imagined.
Well, and yeah, I remember very specifically having a really big challenge in my life where I finally kind of surrendered to the universe, and that's where a lot of things started to happen.
Hmm. So let's go back a little bit then. So, well, and at first I just want to mention for our listeners, I saw in your bio that you were a film editor on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and Three Men and a Little Lady for among other things.
Yes.
So, hey, we just watched that movie a couple weeks ago on Netflix. So that's a great movie. You know, so it's... I think that's an important thing to note, right? Because a lot of people obviously would be looking at your life doing that, thinking, wow, she's made it. You know, she must be so happy. But you weren't happy inside, right? So it seemed like a hell yes, but on the inside for you, it wasn't a hell yes. And I was talking about that to another guest about the, you know, it's really just important to listen to that. Like, is this a hell yes for you? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's great that you were able to recognize that about yourself and kind of start making your journey towards your hell yes. So yes. I wanted to ask about the animal piece of it though. So there's a there's also this thing about, like, you know, I've had one of these things. There's the images that come up in my mind. I one of my loves is public speaking. And, you know, for years I've had the image of me on stage in front of people come up. And then there's this, you know, like, oh, I don't know how I'd ever make that happen. What can you tell our listeners out there that maybe they've got something like that? You know, you had Dog is My Doctor. I had me on stage. Maybe they've got something else. What can you tell them to, you know, it was a little bit of encouragement to maybe take a step forward?
Well, actually, you brought up a really a point that hits home for me. I was definitely afraid to get up in front of people and speak. In fact, I had a devastating moment where I overprepared and I was so anxious. And I got up in front of an audience of about 35 people. I opened my mouth and nothing came out. And I was like, what? And I opened my mouth again. And then I think a frog was like in there because some sound like that was made. But it's like that. And then I don't even know what I said. I really, it was so awful. I was so embarrassed. And I said to myself, I will never get up there again. Ever, ever, ever will I ever get up and speak in public. Mm. Well, last year I spoke at the National Animal Rights Conference in Los Angeles. And to me, it was really one of the most amazing breakthrough moments I have ever had. And guess what my topic was?
I don't know.
Public speaking.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And what, you know, what's amazing also was that this was an audience of people who I really want to leverage. I want them to be at their very, very best, because one has a mission, like for me, to have the greatest positive effect on the lives of animals, but I can't do that alone. There's no way. I need everybody's help. I need people to be on board. And here were these people who want to do something similar, and they're all looking for their way. So for me to speak in front of them and to encourage them and to get the feedback I got from them was pretty amazing. And how I got there was I did Toastmasters. And I've been doing that every week for a number of years, and it's amazing. Practice really helps. But again, I started at not being able to say a word to suddenly speaking in front of an audience of 100 people. It was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on getting over that chasm of, you know, you know, being able to speak in front of people. And I also am a fellow Toastmasters member, and I can speak to the power of Toastmasters. Hell yes, lifers, if you're out there and you're thinking about, you really want to spread your message through public speaking, there's, I think, no better place to start than a Toastmasters meeting. And there's probably surely one in your neighborhood. So. Well, tell me a little bit about, there's a couple of things I noted in your bio here. And one of them was, that you were named by PETA, the sexiest vegetarian over 50. Tell us a little bit about that. Now, PETA is the animal rights group. It stands for People, for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, as Carlene mentioned.
Yes. Well, that was another moment where I allowed myself to surrender to the moment, because believe me, I never in a million years would have thought I would have actually applied to anything like that. I just was like, well, that's just not me. And one day that email came through saying, you know, would you like to apply for this? And I stared at that email and I stared at it and something in my heart said, you need to do that. And I'd heard that voice before. And that voice is just very powerful. It's my intuition. And so I thought, I don't know, I'm just getting a really strong hit. I should try. And I did. And I basically, it's people, it's a number of ways that you can win. People vote for you. Then there's, you know, like an essay that you write and questions that you answer to see kind of what you've been doing with your life there. And then there's the, whoever the judges are at PETA vote for you. And one day, I had totally forgotten about it. And one day I got an email saying I won and I couldn't even believe it. And which was nice about that was it really did launch me into a bigger platform. Suddenly people were asking my opinion about animal, you know, welfare and animal rights. And that was a really beautiful moment because I was able to really start speaking my truth and speaking out loud and speaking in front of people in a way that I hadn't before, or I was too scared to before. It kind of nudged me in that direction. So if any, now they've changed it to sexiest vegan over 50. So any vegans out there over 50 who want to run and, you know, take a risk. It was really pretty amazing.
Okay. So they've upped the ante a little bit.
They've upped the ante.
It's vegan. Okay. So I wanted to ask about the, you say in one of your videos, that you recommend using the word guardian instead of owner for your animals. Tell us about that. Tell us about your whole thinking about that.
Right. Well, the term, this idea of using the word guardian when you speak in reference to your animal companions or the non-human animals that live with us. It's an idea that came from Dr. Elliot Katz, who's the president emeritus of In Defense of Animals. And it's the idea that, you know, if you think about what you own, what do you own? You own your, you know, I'm sitting in front of a laptop. I own that. I own my car. I own my books. I own my purse. Well, whenever I get tired of that, whenever I'm, you know, want something else, I may toss it. I may give it away. I may not really care about that anymore. And this is the word that we use when we talk about our animals. I own them. But if you were to think of the word guardian just for a second, just allow yourself to let that word, you know, just to feel that word, just to not only to think in this way, but to use that word, then we're no longer thinking about them as commodities, possessions, things that are disposable. And unfortunately, you know, we have right now millions of animals, totally adoptable, beautiful animals that are in our nation's shelters that have ended up there because we own them and we discard them. And we no longer think that they're worthy for whatever reason. They're old, they ate my shoe, whatever your reason was. In the shelters, I would hear amazing, unbelievable stories of why somebody would, you know, relinquish an animal. And we even have done, there have been studies done that show when you think of yourself as a guardian, you're more likely to have this animal be part of your family. You're more likely not to leave them outside, you know, in the elements. You're more likely to, children will develop more empathy. And so there are a lot of benefits to thinking and feeling in this way. I remember somebody telling me recently who I said, talked about guardianship versus ownership. And she said, you know, I never liked that word owner, but I just never knew what other word to use. She goes, now I've got it, guardian.
Yeah, it's amazing how, like you say, how powerful words can be and how they can really shift your mindset about something. And even just not having had that experience of thinking of myself as a guardian for an animal, I can imagine quite quickly it would really shift your relationship with the animal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let me ask you a little bit about your personal connection with animals. And I want to maybe take us a little bit back. Did you have animals growing up? Did you have cats and dogs or any other kind of animal?
Yeah, well, we had a lot of dogs. And it was kind of a funny thing because at the time, unfortunately, you know, the era we lived in, it was dogs did live outside and my parents didn't like them to come in. But I was so connected with them at night, I would sneak them inside and I would just read to them in bed and we'd just be under there with a flashlight. And so I had a very strong connection to animals when I was growing up. I never had cats, but what was interesting was when I did grow up and I went through a very painful divorce, it was pretty, heart-wrenching for me. But what got me through that were my cats that I had adopted. They were really there for me to help, you know, get me less depressed and less stressed and less anxious. And so I had dogs when I was growing up, and then I had cats when I was older. And then in my book, I talk about my six pack, which is finally I had everybody. I had four dogs and two cats.
And so that's your current cast of characters then?
Well, the unfortunately, you know, it takes, who knew it would take me 5 years to write that book. And all of the animals I adopted, I sort of adopted around the same time. And unfortunately, five of them are no longer here. Four of them are no longer here, and two of them are, and they're 13 and 15 right now.
What about that aspect of owning a pet, right? So we've talked about all the benefits, and I'm not saying that this isn't a benefit. I think it actually could be a benefit for, let's say, for a family or even children to have that experience of watching an animal, you know, grow from a puppy or a kitten through middle age to old age, and then to pass on, you know, and have that experience of, you know, loving an animal and then losing an animal. But is there anything to say about that part of the experience?
I think it's it's interesting. Our society, I think for the most part, is a little, I talk about this in my book, that it's a little death, it is the term being like that we avoid death. We don't want, like, to look at it. We don't like to talk about it. We're adverse to it. And there are other cultures that are not. You know, they recognize that death is really a part of life. And for a child to be able to grow up with an animal and to see that passing, you know, children usually have a very strong connection to animals. And it's their first love often. But to be able to see that and to have kind of this, look at the way animals, when they get sick or they pass, it's not like they're thinking, oh my God, what's happening to me? They're present in the moment. They're experiencing the moment. They are moving through it. They, you know, I think they're more concerned with us and that we're crying and that we're upset about it all. And I think this is, if we can just tune in and teach our children, you know, that this is a natural part of life. And if we can experience it the way that animals are doing it, if we can take their lead when they're going through the transition, I think that's a very powerful way to look at life and to begin to help you later on when you grow older. And a lot of people and a lot of animals that you know are going to pass, you're going to experience death a lot. But I think that the only way to move through that is to be able to be in it and, you know, and to accept it and to understand that it's a part of life. And animals model that for us so well.
That's right. I wholeheartedly agree with that, and that there's generally a kind of a death averse culture here in the United States. I just actually thought of, I've done some solo performances in the past, like theater performances, and one of them was called Mango, and it was about our 18-pound curmudgeon of a cat. He was this orange cat that I had kind of a tumultuous relationship with a number of years ago, and it was just a 10-minute piece about my relationship with him and then growing to love him. And then he died. And after I did those performances, people would always come up to me afterwards and say, oh, I love the show so much. Here's a picture of, yes, you know, my dog or cat that I just recently lost. And just the outpouring of emotion that came with that was amazing.
Well, you may like my book even more because there is a story of an orange cat and there is the word mango in there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, maybe he's come again.
Yeah, well, yeah.
a different mango, yeah. Yes. Well, okay, so let's see, as we start to move towards the end of our time together, I was wondering if you could tell us, I always like to ask our guests, looking forward now, and I use this term, your cringeworthy vision, and I don't mean that there's anything wrong with the vision, but it's cringeworthy because you cringe a little bit thinking about sharing it with other people because it's such a big vision. You're obviously already experiencing a lot of success with your book, but what's your big vision going forward?
It used to make me cringe. It doesn't make me cringe anymore because I've said it so often, and it's to see an end to animal suffering in my lifetime.
Wow.
To see an end to animal suffering in my lifetime. That is my vision.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And that's a big vision. That's great. That's great. That's one of those things like, gosh, how could we, but no, that is exactly where we want to go, right? Just blow the lid off the top of it and, have a huge vision like that. That's inspiring. Okay. So to round out our time, I always like to, if do you have any, now whether this is, whether our listeners are animal lovers or not, or whether they identify with this passion or not, are there any tips or quotes or resources that have helped you on your journey that you would like to share with our listeners?
I would, and I know it may sound strange, but I am a big fan of the Lord of the Ring movies.
Oh, yeah.
I watch them every year around Christmas time. And it's this, I think, underlying theme of good versus evil that I really resonate with. And I believe that good will always win. You know, no matter how it looks, in the end, the light's stronger than the darkness. And I think, especially these days when there is so much going on in the world, just politically, globally, environmentally, everything, those movies bring me comfort. Because it's like, as hard as things get, as bad as they are, we can get beyond it and make things better. And I always love this quote by Gandalf the Grey, which is, all we have to decide is what to do with the time given us.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one. Great one. Love the Lord of the Rings. Yep. So just remember, Hell Yes Lifers, you can be Frodo or whoever that is for you, you know, marching to Mount Doom to throw the ring in or whatever that metaphor is for you. Oh, that's great. Well, let's see. Where on the internet can we find you, Carlene?
Sure. My website is animalhumanhealth.com, animalhumanhealth.com. But what's really great about that place is there's an awesome quiz on there that you can take. And it basically answers the question, if a dog were your doctor or a cat your nurse, what would they advise you about your health? And you can take this really fun quiz. It's really short. And it's, you know, a dog and a cat basically saying, hey, this is what's going on with you. And so it's kind of fun. People enjoy that. I'm also on Facebook at Carlene Montes de Oca, Carlene Montes de Oca, and on Twitter at Carlene MDO. And Carlene is spelled C-A-R-L-Y-N.
Hey there, Hell Yes Lifers. We are going to do a little time traveling now because we had a little glitch in the initial interview where things cut out right before we were able to say hell yes together, me and Carlene. So we've decided to take lemons and turn them into lemonade. We're using this as an opportunity to check in with Carlene a few weeks later. So we're now right the day before this episode airs, and we're using this as an opportunity to check in with Carlene. So Carlene, give us a little update. How are things going?
Things are going awesome. I've had a lot of lemonade going on.
Awesome.
It's been an amazing time. My book came out on April 18th. Yay!
Yay!
And it already got to number one on Amazon, which was really, really cool. So thank you all. It was amazing. And this week I was in New York and doing the National Publicity Summit, where I got to talk to some shows like Dr. Oz and Rachel Ray and the Harry Connick Jr. Show and all these really great media outlets. And it went very well. So I'm very excited about all of that. And I'm about to begin my book tour on Saturday, which is called the Positive Book Tour, P-A-W-S, the Positive Book Tour. And it's going to benefit a lot of rescues and shelters, where I'm donating 50% of my proceeds to these organizations that align with us at the different book readings. So I hope you all can come.
Love it. Love it. It's so great to be able to check in just even a few weeks later and things have already progressed so much for you. Congratulations on the book launch and hitting number one on Amazon. And I'm sure we'll look forward to seeing you on one of the shows you mentioned in the upcoming weeks and months. So that's so exciting.
Totally. Thank you so much. It's been an exciting time. And, you know, my passion is really to have the greatest positive effect on the lives of animals and the humans who love them. And I think we're off to a good start.
Absolutely. The power of positivity. I love it.
Yes.
So, Carlene, are you, now here we are, 6 weeks, whatever, 4 weeks later, we finally get a chance to say hell yes together. Are you ready to say hell yes on the count of three?
Hell yes.
All right. One, two, three. Hell yes. All right. All right, Carlene, thanks so much for joining us and best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And hell yes to all of you.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a Hell Yes life.